We'll turn in your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 3. Jesus commissioned his disciples to be apostles. That means to be the ones who are sent. And he sent his apostles to make disciples of all the nations. And this was the beginning of the Christian ministry in the church. And church history is the story of the many, many ministries around the world. New ministries, long ministries, effective ministries, difficult ministries, all kinds of ministries. But all of these ministries started, for the most part, with one man. I have to define myself here, the Apostle Paul. You say, wait a minute. See, I already have to give further explanation on that. The ministry is the working of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul is not the origin of the ministry, but God used him to reveal the ministry to the Gentiles. And a special thing about the ministry to the Gentiles. Gentiles have been saved in the Old Testament. A few, not many, but a few. And also in the New Testament prior to the ministry of Paul. And that's true in a special way. God revealed to Paul how Gentiles were included in the plan and purpose of God. Paul did not think up the ministry to the Gentiles on his own. God revealed this mystery to Paul, specifically to Paul. That's why I said he is, in one sense, the person that God used to explain how it is that God is summing up all things in Christ and how Gentiles are a part of the plan and purpose of God. And this is a mystery in the Bible. And the mystery, as we shall see, is a secret truth of God that is impossible for man to discover and must be revealed by God to be known. And it was God's will to reveal this mystery of Gentile salvation to Paul. Paul was given the stewardship of God's grace to the Gentiles. And this stewardship involves the unity of all believers in the body of Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And the key to this ministry and what Paul is talking about is the body of Christ. I want you to look in your Bibles, who talks the most about the body of Christ? And the answer to that is the Apostle Paul. Because Gentiles have been saved, believers in the past saved, different ones saved. But the inclusion of the Gentiles is, you'd say, well, if I was looking in the Bible and I say, well, if I was an Old Testament saint, I'd say, how are Gentiles to be saved? I say, well, they must come to Israel. They must be in Israel. They must be a part of Israel. They must hear the good news from Israel. God has revealed all the covenants, all the promises. He's revealed a great deal of truth to Israel. So Israel is the focus. And when people were saved, it was usually in contact with, in some way, a prophet or of someone in Israel. But the mystery is not that we are saved by being in Israel, Gentiles. The mystery is all will be saved by being in Christ, and specifically in the body of Christ. That's the mystery. When God is going to sum up everything in Christ, he does so by bringing all believers into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ. You can't get closer to Jesus Christ than a spiritual union to Jesus Christ. You can't get closer to God than a spiritual union in Jesus Christ. We're baptized, spiritually baptized, not water baptized, but spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us so that we can say, I am in God and God is in me. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. There's this union that we have. And it's in the body of Christ. And what God is doing is summing up all things in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. And the summing up of all things in Christ is whether we're talking about Israel, whether we're talking about mankind before Israel, whether we're talking about the church. The summation is for us to be in Christ. That's key. And in fact, when you look at Ephesians, if you want to, you can go through in your Bible. If you mark in your Bible, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But when I do mark in my Bible, go look at the in Christ, in Christ. How many times is it going to say in Christ, in Christ, in Christ in this epistle? And in his epistles, it's really most important to him. So Paul didn't make up this ministry, and Paul did not discover this ministry. But God revealed it to him so that we would understand our standing before God in the church. This one body, the church is a part of this one body. But God is not saying, well, I've gone from Israel and now I'm done with Israel because they rejected the Messiah. There's a lot of replacement theology that believe that God is done with Israel. Now God is accomplishing his work in the church, and the summation of the working of God is the church. That's a part of what God is doing, but what God is really doing is not summing up everything is going to be summed up in the church. Everything is going to be summed up in Christ, the church in Christ, the nation of Israel in Christ, and we will all be the same. And there's equity in the body of Christ. And we'll see that in this passage of Scripture. But what's interesting about this passage is the reason why I had Dave read from chapter or verse 19 is because this is explained from 19, 20, 21, and 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And the reason why I read that is because it says really what the mystery is. So you say, well, what is this business about mystery and what is this business in verses 1 through 7? And all I can say is that the Apostle Paul is doubling down on what is something that he wants us to know. That this whole ministry to the Gentiles is a special revelation of God. And we're the Gentiles, and he wants us to know how we get into the promises of God, how we get into an equality of status, really, with the saints of old. And God brings all together in Christ to the glory of Christ, to the glory of God. That's the summation. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. He talks about in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. The summation of all things is Christ. It's all in him. And say, people say, well, what are we going to call ourselves when we are all in Christ? I say, I don't know. Well, maybe we'll call ourselves Christians. I don't know what we're going to refer to ourselves as. But I know that the summation of all things is for everything to be Christ and Christ exalted. Maybe we'll just call ourselves in Christ people. We are in Christ. Abraham will say, I'm in Christ. David will say, I'm in Christ. The Apostle Paul will say, I'm in Christ. And we will say, I'm in Christ. That's what God is doing. There's this whole work that God is accomplishing, putting all this together. And what happens in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, is God wants us to know that that is just being revealed now. If you ask the Old Testament saints, they would not know this. You say, what is God doing in the fullness of times? The Old Testament saints would see the kingdom of God. God is going to establish his kingdom. This is the kingdom that lasts forever. I said, right, you are. But that kingdom of God is going to be in Christ. And then we come to the church and we don't say, well, the church is just, you know, you can take Israel, throw Israel away, and now we're going to do the church, and the church is the summation. No, we say, God is going to be faithful to all his promises that he's ever made. There's never a promise that God has ever made that he's going to say, well, I threw that one out the window. God keeps his word. He gives his word, he keeps his word. But the summation of all things is in Christ. So look at the text here in this passage. Because Paul first talks about this mystery. God wants us to understand mystery. Let me say something about mystery. In the ministry over the years, I've run into a number of people who don't like mystery. I said, it's in your Bible, you know, but they don't like mystery. Because the mystery oftentimes is holding things that we don't completely understand. And we can't quite put them together oftentimes. But we believe them because God has revealed them. So God reveals what we need to know, not what we always want to know. So this mystery of summing up all things in Jesus Christ is made known at the cross, or after the cross, or when the ministry goes forth to the Gentiles. So Paul was a prisoner. He begins in verse 1, he says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you." So he speaks of being a prisoner because he's saying, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ and I'm in prison, not because Rome has put me in prison, but because I've been ministering to the Gentiles. And as this ministry, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ, and if he wants me in jail, he has me in jail. Personally, I'm very thankful that Paul was in jail, in prison, because he caught up with his correspondence. And he wrote these epistles so we have the word of God. God knew exactly what he was doing for Paul to be in prison. And Paul looks at that and looks and doesn't want anybody to be discouraged because he's in prison, because he says, I'm here because I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm doing the ministry to the Gentiles, and this ministry to the Gentiles has caused me to be thrown in prison. Glory be to God, Jesus Christ has me here. But I have this stewardship of God's grace. The stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. So once again, he's going to explain how he got this. We're in Christ. So in verse 3, it says this, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." And then you get to the mystery, "that Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus, of which I became a minister." He goes on to speak of his ministry according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So he first says in verse 3, the revelation was made known to me. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know exactly how this revelation was made. The Apostle Paul was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe was taught in a special revelation of Jesus Christ to him, probably true. But it may have started when the Lord said something very interesting to Paul on the Damascus Road. Paul was going to, on the Damascus Road, to persecute the Christians in Damascus. He wanted to arrest them. He wanted to take them in prison. He really wanted to hurt them as much as possible. And as he's going on the way, the Lord appears to him. He falls down. And the Lord says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" This may be the starting of Paul would look at whatever it was that he saw. The Lord Jesus Christ, or whatever in glory, whatever he saw. But if he was thinking clearly, he would say, "I know I'm not persecuting you. I'm not going to persecute you. How in the world could that ever happen? I'm going to persecute those Christians." But the Lord says, "Those Christians are in me. You're persecuting me when you persecute them." And that may have been just the starting command of or question that was asked to begin this whole process, where the Lord says the goal of the ministry is for all to be in Christ, in the body of Christ, together in the body of Christ. That's where history is going. And the Lord is saying to the Apostle Paul here, at least, it's already started. You're persecuting those individuals who are in me. You touch them, you're touching me. I'm sure Paul never had thought about that before. He's thinking about it now. But he said, there's this made known to me, the mystery. Now, he says, I wrote before about it in brief, and if you look at chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, I read that to you, that he describes the mystery there, made known to us, the mystery of his will. And again, the mystery is the secret in God. God didn't tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God didn't tell David, and God didn't tell Isaiah and Jeremiah of being in the body of Christ. That's revealed to the Gentiles. That's revealed to Paul and to the apostles and to the prophets. But it's revealed. It was revealed to them. This union in Jesus Christ, being baptized into the body of Christ, and having Christ in us and being in him. This is a spiritual union that we have. But truth be told, there are a lot of mysteries in the Bible. There are mysteries that we understand in part. There are lots of them. And there are mysteries that we believe. For example, creation is a mystery. It's a mystery. What's mysterious about it? Well, it says in Hebrews that God created ex nihilo. God created everything out of nothing. I have no thought process for that. I don't know how you create out of nothing and create everything out of nothing. I have nothing by which I can totally grasp all that. Do I believe it? Absolutely. And I've said before, one of the amazing verses in the Bible is he talks about the greater sun or the greater light and the lesser light. He's talking about the sun and the moon. And he's saying the greater light comes and the lesser light. And he created those. And then he says, and I made the stars also. That's the most incredible sentence in one of the most incredible sentences in the Bible, or this phrase in the, and he made this, and I go, Are we talking about the billions of galaxies with the billions of stars in them that you call by name? And he made the stars also. It's kind of like an offhand comment. I stand amazed. I look at that and say, do I understand how God can do that? Not really. That boggles my mind. The aseity, the self-existence of God is a mystery to me. I have no ability, I have nothing to compare that to. He forever exists. He derives his existence forever from himself. Forever. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Do I know what that fully means? Not really. I can't think of forever, to tell you the truth. I can't think of infinity. The Trinity is a mystery. We believe in one God. We are monotheistic. There is one God in three persons. I cannot think of one and three at the same time. I just can't do it. My mind, I can think of one. I can say monotheistic, and I can say the Trinity. And it's the triune. It's three in one. So that makes it very difficult when I see Jesus Christ on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do I understand that statement? I understand that Jesus said that. I understand what he means by that. How one God can forsake one God, I don't know. But it's true. Do I believe it? Yes, I believe it. All I'm saying is there are many things that I absolutely believe. And I know in part, I have an in part understanding of these things. How God can be absolutely sovereign over all, and yet man is fully responsible. Okay, do I understand that? Not really. Can I put those things together? Not really. Do I believe him? Yes, absolutely. God is absolutely sovereign, and man is fully responsible. I find that amazing. God has lots of secrets. God has lots of things that he tells us in part. Oftentimes he doesn't say, well, how does this work together? How do you fit these things together so perfectly? That's what we'll find in probably in the heavenly places when God gives further explanation, if he so wills to do so. We live by faith. We trust him. So when God says who he is, when God says what he does, when you look at the cross and the incarnation, and you look at the, I don't understand the nature of Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, yet without sin, but he's one person, one 100% person, but these two natures are not mixed together. It isn't like he's this. I can't be 200% at the same time be 100%. Those are things. This puny mind cannot really grasp the truths of the infinite eternal God. I can grasp what he wants me to know. I can grasp what he explains to me. I can grasp what he reveals. But we're going to be studying God throughout all eternity. Trust me. He's infinite. His nature is infinite. His being is infinite. So when he says there's a mystery, I don't understand why people say, I don't like mysteries. Well, the Bible is filled with mystery. But God reveals his mystery for us to know him. So at the same time, I say God is unknowable. I say, this God who is unknowable exhaustively, I know him. I know him. Well, that's amazing. Why can I say I know him? Because he's revealed himself to me in such a way that I know him. There's much more to know, much the fullness of knowing him, but I know him. There's people who have written some wonderful things on the unknowable God that we know. That's wonderful truth. That's a mystery. But he says, by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. And I wrote before about it to you in brief. And what I've written, you can understand. Insight into the mystery of Christ. And if you think he just talks about it here, look at Colossians and turn over to your Colossians chapter 1 at the end of verses 24 and following. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which he has given me to you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generation, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To this end I also labor, striving accordingly to his working, which works in me mightily. We in Christ, Christ in us, Christ, great statement. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God summing up all things in Christ. So this one body is the mystery, and he says this is made available so that you will know. And you will know exactly what God wants us to know. So in the pre-apostolic generations, they didn't know about this. They didn't know about the body of Christ. They did not about being one body in Christ. But now the whole mystery of the Spirit of God reveals it, not only in verse 5, it says, not only to the Apostle Paul, but also to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So it wasn't just Paul. It was God revealing his truth to Peter as well. But Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He goes forth to the Gentiles, accomplishing this work of seeing Gentiles saved in the body of Christ. That would have been startling to Isaiah and Jeremiah, but it was a beautiful truth for the apostle Paul. So he gets very specific. And I like the New American Standard translation a little better of chapter 6 when it says, to be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body of Christ, and fellow partakers. I talked to you before that these words all begin with the same little prefix that means together with. So when he says we're fellow heirs, in the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body, fellow partakers of the promises, it's fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise. So we have the same inheritance with one another. Why? Because we're in Christ. And we have Christ's inheritance because we are in Christ. We have everything that Christ has because we are in him. And we're together in the same body with one another. Fellow members of the body, fellow heirs of the body, fellow partakers of the promise. What promise? The promise of salvation, the promises that God includes in all of blessings in heavenly places that God gives to us in Christ Jesus. That's why it says it's every blessing in the heavenly places because it's in Christ. Everything that Christ is yours. Everything is Christ. You are in him as full partakers with everyone else. Together with the inheritance, together with the body, together with the promise. We're together. This is God bringing all things together. So that's why we send, go forth with a gospel message and we say, come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the one who has accomplished the work. He's the one whose body you must be a part of. He's the one who causes us to be baptized into that body and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And he says that the Father and the Son dwell in him as well and dwell in us. There's no place where you could find greater blessings. We are in God. We are creatures. We're not gods. We don't become God in Christ. We are the creatures saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, fully blessed with everything in Christ. And that's one of the reasons why you can't lose your salvation, because to lose your salvation, you'd have to fall out of Christ. You've been baptized, spiritually baptized in the body of Christ. And to lose that, Christ would have to, he says, all the Father gives me, I lose nothing. So I know he loses nothing. And he says, I hold you in my hand. The Father holds you in his hand as well. So there's no letting go. And the Lord has us and the Lord holds us. And we're there. We have great assurance because of the finished work of the cross and what God has done in putting us in the closest possible relationship we can have with God. And I've said to you before, I think in all eternity, we're going to have conversations like we've never had. We pray to God and we read the Word. God tells us what he wants us to know in the Word. God can impress things upon our hearts, but God tells us what he wants to know in his Word, and we cry out to God, and we talk to him, but this is the life of faith. We're always going to be trusting him. But when we are glorified with God in the new heavens and new earth, we're going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ every day. Fellowship with Jesus Christ every day. Because every time we say, Dear Heavenly Father, or Dear Jesus, or we enter into a prayer, it's going to be him speaking directly with us, and we to him. Probably we listening more to him than he to us. That's amazing. Because we're in him. This is, our standing. And never forget that you're fellow heirs and fellow partakers of the body and fellow partaker of the promise. Fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise. That's your position forever in Jesus Christ. You talk about the love of God. I don't know how God could love us more than that. We can't get any closer to God than that. If we got any closer to God, we can't. we'd be God, but we can't be God. We're the creatures drawn into this perfect fellowship, really, with one another and with God. And it's also with one another. And Paul says in verse 7, this mystery that God has revealed, this body of Christ that God is forming. And what's interesting to think about this is that we are in the body of Christ because we are new covenant Christians. Israel is going to be a part of this. They have yet to be brought under the terms of the new covenant. The formation of this body is still going on. And you can say, well, are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are they in the body of Christ, or will they be brought back in this gathering and be brought into the body of Christ? And the answer is, I don't know how that takes place. Because we don't know. God doesn't say. There's nothing in it that says that. I assume Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah are with the Lord in heaven. And yet, the Lord says, I'm going to establish my new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That has never happened yet. It's one of the reasons why we have prophecy and things that we think are going to take place in the future. Because one of the things that has to happen is Israel as a nation has to be brought under the terms of the new covenant. Which means, if that were true today, that if you went to Israel, you'd find people that are just like us. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior and the Son of God. And the Jews would not only be preaching that, they would be sending out missionaries with that regard to the whole world. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. We're under the terms of the new covenant. Not the law, we're under the terms of the new covenant. New covenant says we'll replace the Mosaic code, the Mosaic law. That's an interesting statement to ponder. But it's yet to happen. It's still not true. There's Jews all over the world. The regathering of the Jews has not taken place. So this formation is happening, but the Gentile form of that is the church, and it's happening now. You're a part of that whole process. And I'll tell you, why didn't the Lord come a long time ago? I said, if the Lord would have come a long time ago, you wouldn't be a part. He's waited for you. I'm not saying God's waiting, but I'm just saying, in terms of the divine purpose, all who are going to be saved and all who are going to be part of this body of Christ will be formed. It's what he's going to do. And you're an important part. You're a most important part. It wouldn't happen without you. You say, really? I'm just nobody. Yeah, well, you're a nobody that's somebody to God. And you're a part of this whole body of fellow believers and fellow partakers and fellow members of the body of Christ. You're vitally important, and God is accomplishing his purpose. That's one of the things that's happening now. That's wonderful truth. History is going somewhere. History is moving in a direction, and when this mystery is revealed to us, we know where it's going. Glory be to God. And also, just by application, it's important to see that our fellowship with one another should be as fellow partakers. We should have close fellowship. I think one of the things I love about... Okay, everybody plug your ears because I'm going to say nice things about you. But one of the things I love about this church is the fellowship of one with another. It's not perfect, but it's really a wonderful fellowship that we have, a wonderful fellowship that we have with one another. And it should be, and it should be pursued, and it often fails. But we're going in this one body going to have perfect fellowship with one another. That's the standard. That's not just the hope. It's the standard of the kind of fellowship that we should have with fellow believers here in this church and fellow believers that we run into. We are members of one another. We're fellow partakers of the blessings. We've become a part of the body of Christ because of Jesus, and we are brought into and should enjoy and pursue and that great hope of complete fellowship together with one another, complete fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that may be one of the amazing things that we find when we get to heaven. How much we love one another and how much we love God and how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of that will be unimpeded. It will be perfect. But pursue that now. With the Lord, and with one another. That's really, if that's where we're going, that's what we should be becoming now. That's wonderful truth. And God help us. God help us. It's great truth, and there's more to be said about this, but the mystery of being in the body of Christ revealed to the Gentiles is wonderful truth. It's wonderful truth. It's going on now. It's going to be going on forever. God is accomplishing his purposes and will continue to do so. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your secrets. You unfold things to us. We learned that Jesus Christ was going to be a man in Genesis chapter 3, at the fall of man. The seed of the woman would come, crush the serpent's head, and he would bruise your heel. We didn't find out that he was going to be a king until your word to David. We didn't find out that he was going to be the Son of God until the prophets spoke. These are wonderful truths. And we didn't know you were summing up all things in Christ, in the body of Christ, really until Jesus Christ came, suffered and died, and the truth was revealed of the Gentiles' salvation in the church. And we now rejoice in the great hope of all that you're accomplishing, that all of your people shall be in Jesus Christ. What great truth is that? That's so wonderful. Thank you for the blessings you give. And we pray that you would encourage our hearts and help us to know the certainty of our standing before you. All that you have accomplished is finished. And our presence in Christ is sealed forever. Great truth. Thank you for the blessings you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.